The Volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN. COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch. And the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Firestone Destination AT2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learn a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And rip and pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo, induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at IconPass.com. Yay!
Man, I'm honored to welcome this next guest to the show, a guy who, number one, I've had the chance to win a gold medal with, but also someone who I've had the opportunity to build a relationship with, to call a little brother, to try to share knowledge that I've learned over my 10 years and give it back to the younger guys that's taking this league by the storm and taking over the league. And so I'm honored to welcome this next guest. All-star, another all-star on the Draymond Green Show, none other than Jason Tatum. JT, what's up, my brother?
My dog, appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, I appreciate you coming on, man. I've been, you know, we trying to keep this thing going, man, and having all-stars on here. Like, you can't show up unless your resume right, man. So, you know, I appreciate you coming on, allowing us to keep that streak going.
No problem.
Absolutely. But, you know, first off, I want to, obviously, this will be a lot about you, about your career. You know, I want to know Number one is starting off, man. One of the things that I admire most about you, and this is even before I really got to know you, is just how you are as a father. And, you know, we all see the pictures of you and Deuce. You know, we see him with you all the time. But as you and I both know, in this life, a lot of things can be staged. You know, but mm-hmm. getting the opportunity to know you and seeing how hands-on you are with him is one of the things that I admire about you. So first off, I just want to know, like, how is it for you being a father to your son?
Man, I mean, as you know, it's by far the best thing in life. You know, bigger than any accomplishment, any award, any amount of money. That genuine, you know, relationship, especially like, you know, I got a son. So as he's gotten older and I've gotten older, just our relationship, and it's almost like that's my mini me, right? So mm-hmm. like, and I've had the privilege and the honor of, like, you know, I had him when I was 19. I ain't planning it. It was an accident, so be it. But us, you know, him growing up, you know, as a kid, and me growing in my career, and basically, you know, we sharing this journey together. And that was a big thing for me, that, you know, first year in the league, and, you know, he was born December 6, 2017, you know, I wasn't going to sacrifice either. I wasn't going to let one take me from the other. I was going to, you know, in a way, take on both challenges. It's like, I'm going to be the best father I can be, and I'm going to be the best basketball player I can be. And we know we're going to make it both work at the same time. And it's not really like work, you know, it's become second nature. Like, you know, that's just part of my routine. That's part of my day. It's just like, you know what I'm saying, me and Deuce, you know, we rocking out.
That's incredible, man. I think I love it, man, because I know for me personally, you know, I have two daughters as well. And you know, that relationship, I look forward to you one day having a daughter, because that relationship with them girls, it's just a little different, like, obviously. But like you said, with your little man, it's like your mini me, you know, and that's that's kind of how that's how I am with DJ. It's like, you know, people see him on the sideline at the games, but like, he had all the practice. Like, this dude feel like he a part of the team. Like,
right.
He be saying stuff to me like, hey, you went to the gym without me? Like, everybody wanted to see me. They ain't wanted to see you.
Right.
And, you know, but that's, it's so important to be able to share the journey with them, you know, because the reality is, our kids are growing up totally different than we grew up. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're growing up with a silver spoon. You know, they're growing up with access to all of these different things, to a totally different life than we ever grew up with. And my everyday thing, or my everyday thought, is like, how do I give to my kids, and especially my son, how do I give to them what Saginaw gave to me that I know Saginaw isn't giving to them?
Mm-hmm.
How can I still instill some of that in them? You know, and so I think for me, that's the big thing. And that's why I love how hands-on you are with him, how much you have him around. Because, man, that's like, you can't pay for that experience. And so it's such a beautiful thing, man.
For sure. That's the million-dollar question. Like you said, we work so hard to give our kids, you know, a better life than we had growing up. And like, that's what you're supposed to do as a parent. But you spot on, like, you know, especially like raising young men, you know, how do I instill that toughness or that work ethic that, you know, just living in St. Louis every day, that, you know, was just a part of my everyday life. Whereas, you know, Deuce, he come to NBA games, he's sitting courtside, he in the locker room, he on private jets, we going to islands. Like, all he knows is paradise and new sneakers and all that. So it is like, especially as he get older, it's something that I definitely got to work on, of like that balance of, right, of like, mm-hmm. you know, enjoying this life, but understanding that, like, you know, you got to, at some point, you got to work for a life of your own. But no, that's definitely the million-dollar question.
I think, you know, one of the interesting things that I did when you think about really setting your kids up for the future, which I think is a very important thing. And you start talking about a will and a trust. Like for me, my girls get money at 18. My son don't get money until 21. Because the reality is, it's like for my girls, I don't want them to ever feel like, or a guy to ever feel like he can control them because of some that he have, or for them to feel like, man, I need to turn to this guy to rely on him. But for my son at 18, nah, bro, like you, what you doing? Like you going to school, you going to work? Like, what's up? What you doing? Like, and the maturity level of guys and girls are a little different as well. Guys mature a little slower. So that's kind of something that that's something that I am doing with my kids. And I thought that was the right way to go. At least I think it is. We'll see. I think parenting is all trial and error.
That is all it is, trial and error. I tell people all the time, it ain't no perfect way to be a parent. You know what I'm saying? You got to figure it out as you go.
Absolutely, man. But take me on your journey, man. You went to Chaminade Prep, home of David Lee, home of Brad Bill, and then you come through there a school that's had already put out two All-Stars, and you're coming through there. What was it like just going to Chaminade? Like, I know you could have went to a public school in St. Louis, but you decided to go to Chaminade, which seems to be working for the guys from St. Louis. What was behind that decision for you?
I ain't had no choice. That was my mom from elementary school. My mom was like, you going to an all-boy Catholic school, like, you don't need no distractions from 8 to 5 every day. Like, it's all about books and basketball. So, yeah, I wanted to go to public school with all, you know, people in the neighborhood and all my friends from AAU. But I just knew that wasn't the thing. I knew I was going to one of the, we got like, it's like 5 private schools in St. Louis that are all boy. We all in the same conference. But it was just perfect timing because, you know, Brad's mom was my mom's volleyball coach in high school. And Brad grew up, we grew up in the same neighborhood. He was like 4 minutes from my crib. So I went to Chaminade in middle school, and my first year was his last year. So when I was in 7th grade, Brad was in 12th grade. So that was really the stamp. Just I had a perfect role model, a perfect like visualization every day of who I wanted, like where I wanted to go, where I wanted to be. And like he was living proof. So getting to see him every day in the classroom, working out after practice, and him dropping me off from school every day and going to the games and, you know, seeing him put on the show, it was a perfect scenario for me, because this was like, I want to get to where he's getting to, and I get to see, you know, his everyday routine up close. So, you know, I'm forever thankful for that, for being in that position.
That's incredible. And as you went through high school, you go from 7th grade to 8th grade, Brad goes on to Florida, spent 1 year at Florida, then he goes to the league. Once he left Chaminade, did y'all relationship continue to grow? Or was there like a gap where y'all kind of fell out of contact? Or has that always been a constant and someone that's always been directing you?
Oh, no. Brad is the big brother, you know, that I didn't have, right? Even when he got to the league, I remember it was either my freshman or sophomore year, like one of my spring breaks, Brad was like, he just texted me. He like, yo, like ask your mom, can you come up here and just like come chill with me and come to a couple games? I'm like, all right, man, I'm out. Like, I went up to DC. I spent like a week with him and his brothers, went to a couple games. But like, even in the summertime, Brad would come home and it would be times where he would pull up in front of my crib, 9 o'clock in the morning. He called me. I'm asleep. He called me like, yo, come on, bro, I'm outside. I'm like, damn, all right, let me get in the shower. And I would just like, I would get in the car with him. We go get something to eat. We go work out. And then we go to his crib, play the game, chill. And then we go work out again. And he'd take me home. Like, it's plenty of time, summers, where I like would spend the whole day with him. And like, we just be out. But it was always just like, he always was telling me that, you know, he wanted to do for me what, you know, nobody did for him. And, you know, from that point on, I've always had, you know, nothing but love and the most respect, because, you know, he didn't have to do that. Right. He, from day one, he always told me he wanted me to be better than him. You know, he wanted to show me, you know, the ins and outs, the things that he wished he knew. And, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Brad. So, yeah, we, as I got older, we got much closer. Brad was the first person to take me to the club when I was like, 16. And, he took me to the club a couple of times. My mama found out. She cussed him out, but it was all love after that. Like, that's the kind of relationship that we had. Like, my mom cussed Brad out in front of my house one day. Like, you got my son at the club. He still got stuff to lose, blah, blah, blah. But it was just the principle. Like, she wasn't really mad, but she couldn't act like she was cool with it. Yeah. But Brad was first person to take me to the club. Like, yeah, we did it all.
That's incredible, man, to have someone like that you've known from that age to continue to show you the way. You make sure you get that back to somebody, bro, because that's important. That's how we continue to grow our game. That's how we continue to grow as young men, most importantly, you know what I'm saying, as professionals. So you make sure you get that game to the next guy, because that's how this cycle go, man. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. And him saying, like, I want you to be better than me. As good as Brad is, you are him at 6'10", which already kind of puts you in a different, like, not a different category, because y'all both all-stars, y'all both elite, like, y'all both score with the best of them. But being 6'10" and being able to do that automatically just puts you in a different place, because there's only KD, at 6'10", who can do that? Maybe KD. And I had a great opportunity to see that this summer. And what I told everybody, and I'm jumping all over the place a little bit, but this just feels so natural. So we'll rewind a little bit. But what I told everybody was, on our team, it was KD team, like.
Mm-hmm.
USA team, it was KD team, as it should have been. He was the one with the most experience in KD. But it felt like to me, and I want to hear your thoughts. It felt like to me you were being primed for it to be your team this next go around. And maybe KD come back, maybe KD don't. But I felt like he was priming you, like, hey, JT, go give me a bucket, man. Hey, it's your turn. Come on now, go give me some buckets. And hearing the conversation, but also seeing how everyone else on our team, when it wasn't KD, everybody was turning to you. And you had games where you took over. So how are you, did you feel that? Are you seeing that? Is that the goal? Like, what is your goals moving forward with USA?
Yeah. No, I think you spot on. I think that played a huge part in my decision. I think I remember you calling me in the summertime. And, like, telling me, like, bro, I'll never forget, you said, bro, forget all this stuff about rest. Like, we can rest when we retire. And I done it, like, I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm only 23, 24. Like, I got the rest of my life after basketball to rest and do whatever I want. And, like, this is, you know, nothing is promised. Like, this is a special opportunity. So after talking to you, and then the next thing was, like, well, shit, K on the team. And I think for me, like, I remember being 15 years old and going to K camp in DC, and like how excited I was to be there. And fast forward, you know, playing against him in the playoffs last year. And then now being on the same team as him and like getting to see how somebody that like I looked up to at one point, like how he go about his routine, how he worked, how he, you know, just think and see the game, you know, on a personal level, like we're going to be on the same team. That was, for me, it was like, all right, yeah, I'm going. And I remember being out there in Vegas, and like, I remember the first day we scrimmaged, and I remember we played the select team and they kicked our ass the first day. We was out of shape. we was out of shape. We wasn't used to playing with each other. But I remember specifically coming down on the wing, somebody kicked me the ball, and on the Celtics, I would have shot it. And it was like a halfway, like I could have shot it. And I just remember K was to the right of me, and I passed it to him. And I remember he got mad at me. He was like, he was like, yo, don't look for me. Like, he was like, be yourself. I need you to kill. And I was like, damn. Like, that was the first time I was like, no, nah, like, he want me to hoop too. Mm-hmm. Like, don't look at it like, that's Katie. Like, no, we're on the same team. Like, he need me to do me on this team.
Absolutely. And
no, like, I mean, you're right. Like, it definitely started to feel like that. Like, obviously, we all knew it was his team, but just somebody like that in the middle of a game, you know, he come down the court, he telling me to post up to give me the ball to go score, was like, all right, like, yeah, I'm working towards getting to that level. Like, I'm earning the respect of somebody like that. And ultimately, like, that was obviously us winning it, but like, that was one of my favorite parts of, you know, being on the team. Just kind of like that moment, if I, you know, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I actually remember the exact moment that you're talking about when you swung the ball to him. He's like, hey, man, come on now. I remember that exact moment, but I thought it was great because, like I said, the reality is like, it's on you to carry USA for at least the next two cycles. You know, like that's your thing moving forward. And like I said, even if KD come back on the next cycle for Paris, that's almost him just like coming to pass the baton. Like, yeah, I still got it and I'm still cold and I love the hoop, right. But like, I'm really coming to pass the baton. And so I think like that should be your mindset. And what also should be your mindset is, regardless of whatever happens this summer, I mean, or this season, this playoffs, you should be dedicated to having the absolute best summer of your life. And you already work, but there's more to be done, because your only goal next year, going into next year, should be like, now I'm 100% going to be the MVP of the NBA next year. You should be the MVP of the NBA next year with your skill level, with like, you've been doing this now. See, a lot of people don't realize how young you are. I didn't either until we got to the Olympics and I'm just sitting there and we all kicking it. And then some of the questions you was asking, I'm like, man, like, dog, he a baby. But you, like, you've been doing it at this level since you came into the league your rookie year, which is now, what, 5 years. And so people tend to think like, oh, no, like, you just one of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, like, no, he just one of us. Because of the level you've been doing it at. But the reality is you still can't replace that experience. You still can't replace those years of gain and wisdom. And so it was super refreshing to me when you start asking some of the questions you was asking. I'm like, oh, shit, like, this is fun for me. Like, being able to share something. Like, it's one thing to share a game, get game to a young dude. Like, that's all great. It's fun. I love to do it. It's a totally different thing to get some game to a star, like to a young star. That's a totally different thing. And so for me, I'm like, oh man, like this is going to be fun. Like I enjoy that. And so I think that should be your number one goal going into next year, bro. Like, you should be thinking nothing else.
No, I mean, you're definitely right. And I think this is going to be my first kind of full summer since I've been in the league. I played on the FIBA team in 2019. I got injured. 2020 come around and COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And that was the shortest offseason, you know, NBA history. And then last year, you know, we was in training camp with USA while the season was still going on. So it was just, it's always been something. So I'm definitely, you know, after this season, you know, handle this season first. But this offseason coming up is something I'm really, really looking forward to. Because you're right. Like, and I think the Olympics had a lot to do with that. You know, coming off the Olympics and winning a gold medal and being with you guys, like the best players in the world. Like, as competitive as the games were, but just going through practice, when we splitting the teams up, scrimmaging each other 5-on-5, like, it's nothing better than that in the summertime at that point. So just coming into the NBA, like, I've been competing against and with the best players in the league all summer. And then carrying that into the season is like, that honestly is the best way to prepare, you know, for a season.
100%. You know, what's crazy is one of the main reasons I wanted to do Olympics last year was so I could stay in great shape, leaving out of last season to come into this season. Because
are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my day.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
In my mind, I'm like, yo, I want to get back to an all-star level. And I know the key to me playing at an all-star level is simply being in shape. And so I'm like, the Olympics will help me roll right into September in shape and I can hit the ground running into the season. And so I definitely feel where you're coming from. And like, even for me going back to the select team days, when I played on the select team, like, I'm like, yo, I got better this week. Like, I'm playing against these guys, I got better. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's a really big deal.
Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, radio has been called theater of the mind, so let's tell a story with sound effects. Wow, it's like I was in the story. Almost makes me forget this was supposed to be about saving big with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
And speaking of our USA team, your now head coach, Ime Udoka, who was one of our assistant coaches with the USA team, got to spend a lot of time around him, see what type of dude he is, kind of see his coaching style, and I thought it was great. And one observation that I've had in watching your game is in y'all play, but in your game, and I feel like you've taken the next step in that, is like, it's less sidestep three. You know what I'm saying? It's less, like, you're a tough shot taker and a tough shot maker, you know, but I think there's a time and a place to take tough shots. Like, there's a time when you got to take tough shots. And then there's a time when you're that good that you go get the shot that you want. You know what I'm saying? And, and I feel like you're finding that balance. And I was wondering, like, is that something that Ime and A Miles, I know you talk a lot to A Miles, is somebody who helped me a lot over the last couple of years, just understanding the game. What impact has those guys had in coming in on your game individually?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a couple of things. Obviously, you know, the new staff, and, you know, Ime being a new coach, and just like a different sort of philosophy, right? You know, people always ask me, you know, what's the difference between Brad and Ime? I mean, they just different people. Like, they both great basketball minds, but, you know, they just kind of approach things differently, and that doesn't make one better than the other. But, you know, I appreciate them both. I had Brad my first 4 years, and, you know, I'm thankful for him a lot. And now, you know, being with Ime, and also, I think I'm still young, but I'm getting older at the same time. So the game mm-hmm. is slowing down, and I'm learning to, like, read the game a lot differently than I did 2 years ago, right? It's slowing down for me, knowing when to, like, you know, exert more energy and when to save energy and things like that. Thing I just didn't think about, you know, my second and third or even my fourth year, right? So I think having a new staff, sometimes just having a new voice can be helpful. But, you know, I've loved having Ime. Obviously, we started off, it was rocky, you know, up and down. I think that's just part of it. Obviously, with expectations, people just want you to adjust like that. And the reality is, this is, you know, things take time, right? But, you know, one thing I've appreciated is that he's definitely coached me. You know, coached me hard and held me accountable and held everyone accountable. And I think that's something that we definitely needed. And we got like an open door policy. Everybody can voice their opinion. You know, regardless, you know, top man or the 15th man, you come in and work every day, you got something to say, you can say it. And I think that's definitely made us better, you know, these last 2.5 months.
No, it's incredible. I mean, to see where y'all team has gone from, even like when we played y'all in Boston, I think it was in December, and then when we just played y'all a week and a half ago, totally different team. And I think it all starts on the defensive end, which, like, you know when a coach is good, when a coach, you can judge a coach off how their team defense. Like, if a team can't defend, look no further than the coaching staff. Like, like, coaches teach defense, and mm-hmm. and it's a sign of accountability, and all it just everything that it's about is a sign of your team's toughness, to your mental focus. Like, that's a coach's thing, and I think where y'all defense is, but more importantly, not even so much of how good it's been, but the philosophy of it, like. That took some figuring out. Like, to figure out, we're going to start Rob and Al next to each other. This is how we're going to guard. We're going to switch 1 through 5 or switch 1 through 4. Y'all switching 1 through 5 most of the time. And then we're forcing everything to Rob at the rim. And, mm-hmm. like, guys are overextending. Guys are pressing up and literally forcing you right into him. And he cleaning up all mistakes at the rim. Like, to get to that philosophy, it takes some twisting and turning. Like, y'all switch lineups a couple of times. Like, you know, it takes some stuff to get there. And I think that's a, like I said, I think that's a big coaching thing and a move that they made that has changed y'all season.
No, you absolutely right. And it did. Like, we wasn't used to that at first. Like, you know, I'd be the first one to say I was a little hesitant because I'd only known one way for 4 years. And I would, you know, not last year, but my first 3 years, you know, we was always a top 5 defense. We wasn't this good, but I just was so accustomed to doing things a certain way. And I think part of growing is being open to change. And that's something that I've definitely learned this season. And, you know, it was not perfect at first, but I think once we really bought in and once we got healthy, and obviously it's been working. And I think a part of it is like, it definitely is coaching. But I think, you know, when you look at the teams that got the best defenses, like, they got guys on their team that, like, they give – we cuss on here?
Absolutely.
Like guys that, like, give a fuck on defense. Mm-hmm. And, like, now you know, and, like, the teams that got the best defense, like, that's something that we, you know, hold everybody accountable from the first man to the last man. It's like, all right, we might not be, like, the best offensive team, but, like, we're going to hang our hat on this defensive end, and everybody got to pull their weight. And because if Al in year 15 is going to be switching on the guards and pressuring and things like that, then there's no excuse for, you know, somebody in their second or third year. And, you know, that's something that we just relay to everybody.
It's incredible. And I think, including me, I think when y'all brought Al back, everybody's like, what the hell? Like, what? Like, that, it made no sense. And then until you realize, like, JT still super young, JB still super young, Marcus Smart, he got a little more experience, but he's still young. Rob's still young. And when you put it in those terms, especially for me who's now in year 10 and understand, like, Smart right now is in a position I was in a couple years ago where we sucked, but he's kind of right in that space of, like, not quite like vet, but almost there, you know? And, mm-hmm. and so bringing Al back, I now, when I think about it, I'm like, yeah, it makes total sense because y'all needed that vet to look to, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I see that now, but, and then also the effect that he and things that he teach Robert Williams as well. And so I think that's huge. But then speaking of Robert Williams, having an incredible year, having a defensive player of the year caliber type of season. No one talks about his offense. He is one of the best passing big men in the league right now. And
hands
now,
down.
I take that with a grain of salt because Jokic passed better than all the point guards. So we're not putting nobody in Joker category. He's a little different than everybody. But sure. So we're going to just count Joker as a point guard. We're not talking about Joker, but just like big men who are like legit big men don't have the ball all the time. Robert Williams is one of the best passing big men that I've seen, and no one talks about it. And I think that's a huge loss for y'all. What can y'all do to fill that role? Because there's not one guy that can do what he do to bring to that team.
Man, listen. First of all, feel terrible for Rob. Just seeing him the first day he came in and how hard he's worked and the strides that he's made to be where he's at. And it's like, he's just barely like scratching the surface of like where he can get to. Like, this is like his first full year, like playing, starting, like being a core part of our team and seeing where it's taking us. So I feel terrible for him because I just know that his confidence was at an all-time high. He was like really feeling good about himself. And I mean, guys like him, is not, like you said, it's not many guys like him that pass as well as he do, extreme lob threat on offense.
Oh my goodness.
He don't need the ball and, you know, the best defender on our team. So like, you can't replace a guy like that when he go down with an injury. But I think, you know, it's cliche to sound, it's just like next man up mentality. We got to figure it out. It's five games left. We're going into the playoffs, speedy recovery for him. You know, I told him, take his time. Don't, you know, when you feel 100%, you know, then come back. But, you know, we just got to try to hold it down until he does. Cause we don't have a guy on our team. Like, so everybody else just got to do more and step up. But, you know, he was having an unbelievable season.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking of him as a live threat, so check this out. When we played y'all in Boston, we going through shoot around. I had been watching a couple of y'all games before, and I see this dude catch some crazy ass lobs. Speaking of which, This is the Draymond Green show, bro. You say whatever the hell you want to say on here. That's how we rock. We always rolling. So, but I see this dude catching these crazy ass lobs. I'm like, yo, this is wild. So I'm like rewinding back through it, like trying to figure out like where was the coverage messed up at? And for those that don't understand, if Robert Williams is in a drop, if a big is in a drop on a pick and roll and Robert Williams is rolling, that big is taught. So the big, when I say a drop, that means his guy is setting the screen and he's a little beneath him so the guard can't turn the corner. That's a drop. And most bigs, five-man play in a drop in the pick and roll. And you're taught as the big man to never let the roller, which would be Robert Williams, get behind you. Once you let the roller get behind you, you're dead.
Sober with.
So we're in shoot around before the game earlier that day. It was an 8 o'clock game in Boston. So we had a shoot around. And I stopped the walkthrough and I'm like, fellas, listen, y'all have to understand, if you are even with Robert Williams, he's going to dunk on you. He will catch the lob on your head. I just watched him catch three of them on AD in one game. Mm-hmm. If you're even with, and that's AD, if you're even with him, he's going to catch it on your head, so you got to stay below him. And I'm like animated. I'm telling them and everybody like, all right, got it. And I get in the pick and roll, and I'm dropped. And I thought I was beneath him,
mm-hmm.
and he still caught the lob on my head. And I'm like, to have that threat where you literally just put it up anywhere and he go get it.
Throw it.
People don't understand, and I love to hear your thoughts on it. To me, having a lob threat, Robert Williams, JaVale McGee, for what they do for DeAndre Ayton's a good one as well. Mm-hmm. What they do for your floor spacing is equal to what a shooter does for your floor spacing, because you can't lead a body. What are your thoughts on it? You had the opportunity to play with someone like that on the daily. I've had that before in the past. What are your thoughts on having that live threat and the dunker? Because I think it's just as important as having a shooter that spaced the floor.
It makes your offense so much more dynamic, right? You got somebody like me coming off the pick and roll. Nobody ever is going under, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it. But they're not going under. So you got to chase me over the top, because if you go under, I'm stopping behind. I'm shooting a three. So if you got somebody chasing me over the top, and like you said, most traditional bigs are in drop. You know, a lot more recently, they corralling or up the touch. So I got to get out my hands. But you got somebody chasing me over the top. So now I got the defender in jail. He behind me. So now you got to make a decision. And, you know, somebody as athletic as Rob, even when I get in trouble and I don't got nobody, you just throw it in the area. So now you wondering if you want to try to stop me from scoring, or you don't want to give, because most bigs don't want to give up the lob. They hate going in the film and giving up a lob. No big wants they man to score. That is a fact, and we all know it.
Absolutely.
So it just, like you said, it's just like having a shoot. It just makes it so much more dynamic, especially as athletic as a Rob or like a JaVale McGee, somebody that long. You just throw it up and they go get it.
Absolutely, man. I think it's incredible. I wish him a speedy recovery as well. Cause I have an appreciation for the growth of y'all as a team. And, you know, we've been dealing with a lot of injuries. You hate to see teams lose anything because of injury. So definitely wish 100%. Him a speedy recovery. But and still speaking of y'all team, for years, there's been this whole notion of you and Jaylen Brown can't play together. Again, y'all are so young in y'all career. The fact that people want to write it off already is kind of tough, but in the same token, it's also respect to y'all and what y'all have done. Because like I said, since y'all came into it, y'all been doing it at this level. And so for everybody in their mind, it's been more than 4 years, you know, because your rookie year, y'all went to the Eastern Conference Finals. You dunk on LeBron James, you know, like, Like, this your rookie year. So for everybody, they've now been seeing it for so long. In their mind, it's like, that can't work. They need to move on. The reality is it hasn't had any time to manifest itself into what it could possibly be. I am extremely happy to see it working because I have a huge amount of respect for Jaylen Brown, the player he is. I mean, the way he handle and shoot the ball now, like, he work on his game. Like, there's no other way to slice it. That guy, who he was 5 years ago at Cal, that guy work on his game. Like, there's no other way to slice it. So I'm happy to see it working. But what was the key for you and him blocking out all the noise and understanding that ultimately, bro, we got each other and people are going to talk and they're saying this. But at such a young age, y'all having to go through that and work y'all way through that. What was the key for y'all to stick together and say, like, nah, we're going to figure it out together?
Yeah, I think it's a lot to digest there. I think so my first year was his second year. JB been in the conference finals 3 times. He went the year before when I got there and then the bubble year, and I've been twice. So we've had way more success than we haven't. You know, last year, you know, was the weirdest season in NBA history with COVID protocols, no fans, guys dealing with COVID, no vaccine. Like, it was the weirdest season. He get hurt. We was a 7 seed. We made the playoffs, you know, wasn't great. Started off rocky this year. So it was like a rough year and a half. And, you know, we didn't play great that time, but it is what it is. But we've had way more success together than we haven't. We've made the playoffs every year. And I think in this league, what I've realized is everybody will say you can't win until you do. Nobody can win a championship. Nobody can be the best player on the championship team until they do it.
Until you do it. Facts.
Like,
facts.
And the narrative just, like, that's just what it is. Like, Book, like, he wasn't a winner until he had some pieces around him and he went to the championship. Now he is. Like, no, we all know, like, how good he was and what he could do. He just, you know, no knock to the guys on his team. They just weren't that good. So, like, I think we can't figure it out until we win a championship. And then it's like, all right, they can win. And I think that's just like the world that we live in. And once you understand, like, that's just the business of what we do. And, you know, yeah, it seems like we've been together forever. It's been 5 years, but I just turned 24 and JB's only 25. Like, what they say, you don't reach your prime till 28, 27, 28, 29. So, like,
shit, now it's like 31, 32.
Yeah, 30. So we can just say 30. So if you look at that point, like, damn, we still, like, not as good as we gonna be. And for us, we are two of, like, the most competitive guys. I think one of the best things for my career and his is that we've been on the same team and that we worked with each other, worked out, played one-on-one a million times. Like, I push him and he pushes me. And it's a healthy competitiveness and environment between us. And like you said, the strides that he's made from his first year and to who he is now, he made the All-Star game last year. I was extremely happy for him just knowing how far he's come and, like, who the player he is now. Like you said, seeing what he does now, that only means that he worked on his game. Absolutely. Like, that's all that means. So, and I know that about him, and I know, like, how bad JB wants to win aside from everything else. And, like, we trust each other enough. And, like, I've been in enough close games. I've been in enough playoff series where I know, like, if I got number 7 on my team, I believe he's going to do whatever it takes for us to help to win this game. Like, we didn't won enough close games together, enough playoff series where, like, I know push come to shove, he got my back and I got his. And that's fine if the whole world doesn't see that or know that, or, like, we not posting on Instagram with each other, hanging out every day or this and that. And, like, that's fine. But we, like, as long as we know and the people in that locker room know that, like, you know, we in this together, then I think it's going to make for a better story, you know, whenever we do hang that banner, it's like, no, we can't, you know, we can't do this together.
Absolutely. I think for a while, I always hoped that y'all can figure out who's the one and who's the two. And in my mind, no disrespect to JB, he's an incredible talent, a great player. I think you are a generational talent. And so when you have a generational talent, that automatically makes you the number one. Dwayne Wade was a number two in Miami when LeBron went there and told LeBron, I'm going to be number two. You go be number one. Probably one of the greatest twos. Kobe was a number two with Shaq. Like, being the number two is not a bad thing. You know, we live in this world that try to make it like this is a bad thing. Being number two is not a bad thing. And one thing you should understand as a number one, don't take your number two for granted, because there's not many twos that can go for 40 and just go get you 40 in a night. Like, there ain't many twos that do that. Only the great teams got that. And so I think it's very important for you to understand, show him his love, give him his flowers, give that appreciation so he know he got that from you. Because when you feel that, motherfuckers will go to war for you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's ultimately, when he know you'll go to war for him, he'll go to war for you. And that's ultimately how you win championships. Like, you know Marcus Smart will go to war for you. That's how you win championships. And I think it's very important for you as the number one to get them guys love and support. Even though they're older than you and you're younger, you just kind of get thrusted into that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's important for you to fill out as your clown. I think I'm probably more excited about your clown to this MVP than you are. But that shit, it give me chills, man. I get excited about it just to see young guys doing well, man. And especially, like I said, young guys that I have a relationship. But, man, I don't want to hold you too long, but I got a couple more questions. And as you know, I could sit here and talk to you all day. But, you know, we've been speaking about your career, and I'd be remiss. Also a guy who I had an opportunity to play with as well, won a gold medal with, legendary Coach K, who you had the opportunity to play with for at Duke. Obviously, we know this is his last year. What was it that Coach K gave you? I think I saw something where he called you a punk-ass St. Louis kid or something like that. Like, what was it that Coach K gave to you in your year there? And beyond, because I know the relationship don't just stop once you leave that campus.
Man, that is my guy. And like you said, I still talk to Coach at least once, if not twice a month, ever since I left school. So that's something that I really, you know, am proud about my decision of going to Duke. That, like, that's something that I cherish, his relationship. And that, like, that it didn't just stop once I walked out that door and left, you know, Durham. But man, no, he was great for me. Cause I think initially when I first got to Duke, you know, I knew I was only going for 1 year, right? But we had like a mix of, like, it was six incoming freshmen. We had some older guys on our team. And part of me was like, people tell me all the time, they be like, I don't know if you know how good you are. Like, mm-hmm. People tell me that all the time. So my mentality walking in was like, man, I'm happy to be here. Like, I'm from St. Louis. I never thought I would go to Duke University. Like, that, it never crossed my mind, like, that Coach K was going to come to St. Louis and sit in my living room and, like, we want you to come. So I was so happy to be there. And initially, like, there were times where I was just trying to be a part of the team. I was just trying to fit in. And there were a handful of times, and that was the last time we was playing at Virginia. And ACC game, you know, Virginia's always probably one of the better defensive teams in the country.
Absolutely.
But I think I'm making the right play. Like, I'm catching it. I'm making the extra pass. I'm not really being aggressive. I've made it had like 4 points, but I was like 2 for 3. I wasn't really shooting. I think we might have been up 2 or it's tied at halftime. I come in and I'm like, I'm feeling good about it. And I remember Coach K came in. I done told this story many times. He took his jacket off And he threw that, he threw it right at me. Like it hit, like hit my leg and my feet. And he was like, he just started snapping. He like, you soft ass St. Louis kid. I should have left you where I found you. He said, I didn't, he used to tell me all the time, I didn't bring you here to be good. He said, I need you to be special. And like anytime in the game, like the next day in film, if there was a shot where I could have shot it, he would always pause it in film. You being soft.
Wow.
You being soft. We don't need you to be soft. We need you to be you. And somebody that I respected so much and that had accomplished so much thought this highly of me and like never gave me the day off. Never like let like took it easy on me. Every single moment where I wasn't being aggressive, where I wasn't doing what was best for the team, he would let me know. And I really like, I really appreciated that. And I carried that with me, you know, coming into the league.
That's incredible. Did you have the opportunity to make it back for that last game?
No, I did not. I did not. I wish I did. But I remember watching it. I watched it at the house. And part of me felt like I seen every, like, you know, Grant Hill and Christian Laettner, J.J. Redick, Jay Williams, you know, all these guys that like went there for 4 or 5 years, Carlos Boozer. And I'm watching and I'm like, all right, like I went to Duke, but they really went to Duke. Like they spent 4 or 5 years there. I spent one. So like, I don't like that. That might have been more for them. Like I might have felt a little bit out of place. True. I might have felt a little out of place. Like damn, like they really, like they had 4 or 5 years, and I only had one. But it was special seeing all those guys come for his last game. Obviously, you know, we lost, but we're gonna redeem ourselves. You know, this Saturday, Final Four. If you ain't, you got time, you should watch it. You know, we're going to be on TV.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it, man. Send me your Cash App, too, man. I owe you some money for them terrible guys beating my Spartans, man. But I'm still pissed about that because we should have won that game. Still pissed about that. But number one, as a four-year guy, me being there 4 years and Miles being there, too, or Gary Harris being there, too, that don't make me more of a Spartan than them. Like, I'm a Spartan, they're a Spartan. We all went through the grind. At the end of the day, you stepped in. You had to go through there to get to where you was going. Whether it took you 1 year, for sure, whether it took you four, it don't matter. That's a part of your grind. That's a part of your journey. You are just as entitled to that as them. Now, what I will tell you is, for me personally, guys that won a national championship, even if it's not Mateen Cleaves, you know what I'm saying? If it's not Magic Johnson, guys who won a national championship, like, regardless, my jersey retired, regardless of any of that, you won a national championship, I didn't. You're ahead of me, bro. Like, that's just what it is.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And so I can understand, like, the guys that won a national championship. But that don't just mean because they were there for 4 years. No, that's bullshit. You earned your keep just like they earned their keep. So understand that, man. Hey, but before we get out of here, man, and wrapping up, like what's next? What's it for the Celtics? Where you see y'all going this year? What's like, what is the success this year for the Boston Celtics?
Oh man, I think I seen it on Twitter yesterday. We both lost last night, right? And I think, I remember they may have asked some of the similar question, but I remember it, you know, they saying like, what can you take? Like, how do you feel? What can you gain from this loss? And I remember I said, I was like, ain't no moral victories. Like, you either win or you lose. And I seen some, you said like the same thing last night.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you've been to the mountaintop a couple of times. Like you know what it takes to get there. And me playing for the Celtics, like ain't if you win a championship or you don't.
Absolutely.
So that's like that's it. That's it for us. You know, hopefully, you know, we get Rob back, you know, when we can and stay healthy. You know, I'm excited, man. It is, it's that time of the year. The playoffs is like, you know, there's nothing like the playoffs. And now it's you know, everything back normal again. You know, so I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, this last week and a half, these next, you know, five games, just trying to figure out, you know, who we're going to play. But yeah, you know, we've been playing as well as anybody. And, you know, we love our chances. And as well as, you know, everybody probably in the playoffs. So, you know, our goal is just the same as y'all go.
I don't think everybody in the playoffs love their chances, champ.
Most people. I say most people.
Some of these dudes just happy to get to the playoffs. Don't get it twisted.
I'm so happy not to be in that the playing game. That's what I'm grateful for.
Hey. It's been 2 years since I played in the playoffs, man. We played in the play-in game. Last year was fun. It was cool, but I need, like, that's when I played my best basketball. So I need that, bro. I appreciate you coming on, man. It's been an honor and a pleasure just coming on and sharing your journey. I enjoy these conversations and just listening and getting to, you know, hear others' journeys and, you know, how it may be similar to mine, how it may be different, you know, and everybody's journey. Everybody got their own story, you know, so I appreciate you coming on and sharing yours with us. Year five. Already on your way to a Hall of Fame career. Now, I remember I said that to you this summer when we were talking about USA. Like, bro, this is all about trying to build Hall of Fame resumes, bro. Mm-hmm. And you doing that, man. Stay locked in, bro. You should. If you don't get MVP next year, you weak as fuck. I appreciate you coming on the Draymond Green Show, my dog.
My man, appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learn a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And Rip and Pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo, induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide, from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit Slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.